This is in solidarity with our brothers and sisters in the United States. We stand with you.
We'll pour to the creative spirit, the great Ashe out of which we all emerge. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to that creative spirit by whatever name we know it, whatever name you hold in your heart, in your mind, whatever name your ancestors gave, whatever name you learned as a child, whatever name you believe it to be, whatever name you believe it to be in spirit or in science. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to the first human beings who came into existence on this planet, the first human beings who raised the first structures, who cooked the first meals, who taught the first children, who had the first children, the first Africans, the first people who stood upright, who walked, who figured out how to stay on this planet, who figured out how to pass that knowledge on to their children and their children's children, the mothers and fathers of civilization. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour the next libation to their grandchildren, their children's children, those who raised the great early civilizations of Kemet and Kush and Monomotapa, the great medieval civilizations of Ghana and Mali and Songhai and Kanem-Bornu. We pour to those who great the great civilizations of the Igbo people and the Hausa people and the Kikongo people and the Mbarara people, the great Mande civilizations, the great Kikongo, the great civilizations of Southern Africa, the Bantu people, the great civilizations of Southeast Africa, the Dinka, the Shilla, the Nuer. We pour to those millions who raised the foundations from which the world would learn what it meant to be human in the world. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who, upon the arrival on the shores of people they had never seen before, found themselves captured and marched overland, found themselves perishing by the millions before they were held on the holding cells and the open air pens on the coast of West, Central, Southern, and East Africa. We pour to the ancestors who did not know, as they were stripped of all clothing and sent denuded into boats, packed like animals and strewn their bones across the floor of the Atlantic and the Indian Ocean. We pour to them who who in the last moment on Africa grabbed the sand and grabbed the dirt and put it in their mouths and understood that the only thing they might have to preserve their place in that continent was their memory of that place and their ability to pass it on to their children. We pour to them. Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to those Africans and their children who finding themselves cast adrift in Santiago, Cuba, who found themselves cast adrift in Puerto Spain, Trinidad, and Port-au-Prince, Haiti, who found themselves cast adrift in New Orleans and Charleston and Mobile, who found themselves cast adrift in Salvador, Bahia, who found themselves cast adrift in Barbados and the archipelago that formed the Wayward and the Windward Coast. We found them in these places learning Portuguese and Spanish and French, whose often first words was, oh my God, oh Madre de Dios, who found themselves praying to survive and pass on to their children the memories. We pour to those ancestors who are represented in the thousands buried in all the square miles of where we stand and who sit here buried before us in 400 caskets forged of wood from West Africa with Adinkra symbols. Each one of them, each woman, man, and child, symbolic of millions, the children of those who could not be killed. We pour, Ashe.
Ashe.
We pour to their children who somehow survived the hells of enslavement and fought for emancipation in the Caribbean, the French, British, Dutch Caribbean, who fought for emancipation in South America, who fought for emancipation in Central America, who fought the struggles we refer to as the Civil War in the United States, who came out of that, marched out of enslavement through Reconstruction, and found themselves making great migrations, eventually ending up in places like New York. Their children's children, who making a way for themselves became our great-great-grandparents, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our parents, those who, when the first bones were discovered in this space, held their hands and said, stop, no more. We are here to speak for those who can no longer speak with their mouths. We pour for those ancestors, some of whom came to Howard University in 2004 and followed these caskets all the way back to New York. We pray to the great ancestors, the ones whose names we know and the ones whose names we don't. And at this moment, as we pour this libation, I would ask anyone who feels comfortable to say the name of someone in your bloodline who is no longer physically here, but who you know made it possible for you to be here. Go ahead, let's hear the names. Haywood Carr.
Porter Griffin.
Thomas Lee Jr.
Evelyn Glover.
We pour to the names that we hold collective. Ganga Zumba in Brazil. Toussaint Louverture, Jean-Jacques Dessalines, and Henri Christophe in Haiti. We pour to the great Avengers, Nanny of the Maroons of Jamaica. We pour to the great ancestors, Harriet Tubman, Sojourner Truth, Frederick Douglass. Say the names that you study. Who are the names of the ancestors that you have come to hold in your heart and your mind as you hope that you can do what they did for us, for your children and children's children? Let's say some of those famous names.
Malcolm X, John
Henry Clark, John
Dr.
Jackson,
Muhammad.
Jacob Carruthers. And finally, two final libations. We pour to those who make it possible for us to do what we do. We pour to these rangers who stand guardian over this sacred space. We pour to these Africans and these folks who have come from Howard University, the staff, the faculty, the administrators who brought us here today to bear witness. This is not a libation, but an affirmation, because their hearts still beat, their tongues still speak, their minds still think, and their minds still wish the best for us. We pour for all of those people who surrounded us on this journey today and made it possible for us to be here. We pour this affirmation of thanks, Ashe.
Ashe.
And finally, we pour to your children's children's children who will one day stand on this space and speak your name. Ashe.
Ashe.
History is a clock that people use to tell their political and cultural time of day. It is also a compass that people use to find themselves on the map of human geography. History tells of people where they have been and what they have been, where they are and what they are. Most important, history tells a people where they still must go, what they still must be. the relationship of history to the people is the same as the relationship of a mother to her child. There's a little
Swahili.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Habarigani, a Swahili phrase, what's the news? I am Sister Ifua Ma'at, and will be your host for tonight's journey, walking by faith with an African-centered lifestyle. We, the Sankofa Council Radio Broadcast, is affiliated with the Black Reality Think Tank Radio Network. We apply the news Ugu Saba principles, the laws of Ma'at. We discover ways in which making our brothers and sisters' problems our commitment to solve together. The council has covered 6 of the 7 principles of Ugu Saba that will free us if we just embrace them, internalize them, make them part of our daily lives as we strive to restore, renew, revitalize, and reaffirm the realities of our legacy and heritage through a principle lifestyle, our faith in our families, our community, in our spiritual development will liberate us. We are honored that you have joined us to engage in a lively discussion about the seventh principle of Ma'at, which is faith. We also acknowledge and thank our Sankofa members. Tonight we will have Sister Dr. James and Sister Dee Dee as a part of our forum. Our focus guest is our sister Shepsi Ray Ra, aka Minta. We promise to engage, exchange along with you, the audience, for an enlightened discussion of Imani, faith, which is the seventh principle of the Ugu Saba. We will now have our profile of our ancestor by Sister Dee Dee.
Oh, thank you so much, sister. Thank you. And I do want to say good evening to the Think Tank Radio. And I do want to say good evening also to my Sankofa family. The person that I'm getting ready to speak of tonight, oh my goodness, speaking of faith, this queen was something else. She was a brave warrior queen. And sometimes we queens do have to step up too. I don't mean no disrespect to my black kings, my black men, and anything. I love y'all, and y'all always there. But oh, this queen, her bear with me with her name. I can't pronounce it all that well. But it's Ya Ashantiwa, and she was queen mother of the Ashanti Empire, now part of modern day Ghana. She was appointed by her brother. Queen Mother Ya Ashantiwa. She was Ashantiwa Queen at the beginning of the 20th century, who remained a powerful symbol even today. And her birthday was October the 17th, 1840. And they say she died October 17th, 1921. But the Ashanti Confederacy in the present-day Ghana. She was a skilled farmer before ascending to the title Queen Mother in the 1880s. It was believed that she was chosen that title by her brother, which was a very powerful person. He was a very powerful ruler, and so was her grandson. I'm not going to go long on her because a lot of the African words I kind of can't pronounce. I guess I chose the site that I chose to read this off of. I wish that you all can go to blackpath.org, and oh my goodness, you're talking about informational. As the Queen Mother, Ashantiwa held many responsibilities, including the gatekeeper of the Golden Stew. I mean, I love how they kept that Golden Stew away from them Peckerwoods. Excuse my language. No, don't excuse it. I mean what I say. But I love how they kept that Golden Stew, and they couldn't get it. The Golden Stew is an emblem of the Ashanti Kingdom culture, system, and power. Since the Queen Mother is elected to be the mother of the reigning king, she presents candidates for the occupancy of the stew. The chiefdom becomes vacant, in turn protecting the establishment of the authority, since the Queen Mother is the main advisory for the king, and thus is the second highest position within the empire. She fulfills the role of guarding the Golden Stew, and it was a beautiful stew. You also can look her up on YouTube and read about her. And I mean, she fought in many wars, and then she was captured, and they sent her to that Shelley's Island, where they stripped her nude and plucked her eyes out, and she became blind, and that's where she died at, you all. It's just so much more to it, but I'm not going to take up a lot of our time with it. I mean, if you research it, you're going to love it. When Sister When Sister Shepherd Rod told me about her at first, I was like, oh, no, I want to talk about somebody, you know, that you have a lot of passion about. I guess you should never name the chickens for they hatch. But anyway, when I looked this queen up, Ghana has such a powerful history. Ghana, I'm not going to say history. Ghana has such a powerful story, and it's for them and for us to start telling our story and not keeping up and keep listening and going along with his story. For us to tell our story and be proud of it and just stand on it and keep it going. Tell our children, our grandchildren, whoever would listen. And if you all ever get a chance, look this queen up. So powerful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sister Dee Dee.
Oh, you're so good.
It is my honor to introduce our guest tonight, Sister Minta, known as Chepsi Ra. She was ushered onto this earthly plane into the Bolton family on December 26th, minutes after her identical twin sister passed away after birth. The elders in the Bolton family declared that Minta came with special gifts from God early in her childhood. She would have dreams where she was told to tell someone a certain thing. Minta was reared by her maternal grandfather's relatives, along with two of her four brothers. She met her older sister when she was 8 years old. Books fed her imaginary mind. During her teenage years, poetry, writing, and pencil sketching occupied her time. When she wasn't engaged in her other pastimes, she would create hair pieces from ponytails given to her by her neighbor. When she cooked for her family, creatively entering into her recipes, her oldest brother spoke of one of her failed dishes with, "Girl, you gonna kill us with that experiment and stuff. Just cook regular food." Minta grew up embracing a phrase similar to that of the late Dr. Martin Luther King: "If I can help someone along life's way, then my life will not be in vain." During her journey through life, this lady has searched for her purpose. Her granddaddy, Percy Leroy Bolton, and his youngest brother, Murren F. M. Bolton, son of the first Black entrepreneurs in their hometown of Greenville, Mississippi, told Minta that she was born to be a healer. Uncle Murren tried to pass on to her aspects of the spiritual healing techniques. However, currently of that reality unveiled as time progressed in life. Minta pursued a career path as a licensed practical nurse and began to work at Northwestern Mutual Hospital in Chicago, where she grew up from elementary school through college. She was recruited by the Children's Hospital in Milwaukee after going through a difficult marriage ending in divorce in the late 1980s. In Milwaukee, became a training grounds for her for spiritual and cultural development. She had done very well in biblical studies during her youngest years. Subsequently, she gained a bachelor's degree in religious studies, which was easy for her. Further schooling in the field of mental health helped this woman gain a better understanding of herself and others, and levels of understanding. She was able to serve her favorite population, teenage parents, in more ways than one. Spiritual teachers provided deep levels of growth for Minta, and each experience brought about a series of new names, lighting her path brighter and brighter, seeking interpretations of a dreamly led, seeking interpretations of dreams led her to training in Native American spirituality. Another vision propelled Minta forth into African-centered spiritual initiation and training. A rewarding experience was gained when she met and spent time with the international shaman Melandima Sum. Shipsi Ra became the name associated with her mission in life to bring light to accomplishments of our ancestors. Training in the Asantu rites of passage prepared this lady to work effectively with sixth grade girls at our Malcolm X African American Emergency School. It was there that young girls made up a title for Minta, which is Mama Yeye. Soon the title spread to staff, to other Milwaukee middle schools, and throughout the city as well as in the Native American circles. Shipsi Ra worked continuously for 7 years as a consultant for the Milwaukee Public School System, helping audiences to learn how to create Kwanzaa, and honored to have met Dr. Karenge and his wife. As she continues her journey, Shipsi Ra holds certifications in many areas of natural healing, which would be the Reiki, a practitioner, aromatherapy student, crystal healing student, storytelling, a griya. Shipsi Ra loves sharing stories, storytelling skills as she composed obituaries for family and friends, telling stories to the children about our legacy and heritage. And it is those same skills that make her an efficient Ducey at the American Black Historical Museum under the founder of Dr. James Cameron Ashe. It is my honor and my pleasure to introduce our guest tonight, Sister Shipsi Ra. Correction.
Thank you so much, Sister Afua. I really appreciate that introduction. And I want to say good evening to everyone, and I hope everyone is doing really well, and I hope you didn't eat too much, and you're ready to engage in exchange about Imani faith. And so what I'd like to say, you all have to excuse me, I'm kind of struggling with it. Just before I got on the phone, I got a call that said, where they told me one of my friends, Dr. Olu Akinshimoyen, had passed away. He was a chiropractor in Milwaukee. So I'm kind of like bouncing back from that. But anyway, I'm really glad to be here tonight and looking forward to hearing from the audience what you have to say about walking in faith with an African-centered lifestyle, this Nguzo Saba principle of Imani. We had heard the songstress give us a rendition of This Little Light of Mine. And so when you hear that, I'm thinking in terms of this little light of mine has to do with, what are my special strengths? What are the inner gifts that I've been given? What challenges may try to extinguish my light or dim my light, making it undistinguishable to me? So those words, I really appreciated them by Mahalia Jackson. That's who I heard growing up sing it. And she was a powerful, powerful songstress. So Odetta did a good job tonight, so we don't want to leave her out. But this little light is something that we all have. And if you remember back, if anybody listened to the inaugural speech of the late Nelson Mandela, he stressed that when we let our light shine, others will feel free to allow their light to shine. And so our light is that gift that we came here to share with others. If I let my light shine, a fool will let her light shine. Sister Dee Dee always got her light on, so we really get a lot from her because that woman inspires the heck out of me. She reads a lot. I call her the Minister of Information, and she's always got something to share. So we have to look at what is our light. And people always ask me, what is my purpose? Get real quiet. You'll find it out. Or you can find it out from a reading. Or Sister Afua and I have gone through a process called the rites of passage. And we learned that the day that we were born indicates from a spiritual position what our purpose is in life. So there are many ways in which you can find that out. But mostly, if you sit quiet, it'll come. When we talk about this faith and living this life, a lifestyle, an African-centered lifestyle, it's about the decisions we make every day. When we go to the store, do we go to just any old store, or are we looking to build our community and find the store that our people own? My grandfather's father was the owner of a coal yard in Greenville, Mississippi. And a lady that I met in Milwaukee and became friends with, her mom remembers being 5 years old, walking to that coal yard because they refused to do business with anybody other than somebody black because they wanted that money to build in that community. So do we think like that? That's what we mean by African-centered lifestyle. Do we think about, will this move that I make, will this conversation that I have build and renew our community? Will it serve to build the African foundation of family? Because there's some folks out here trying to extinguish that. They're trying to break up families all the way around. And they're trying to do it on the level of what they call painless genocide. So now, you know, that's some sneaky stuff. They're trying to rob the culture and all kind of stuff.
So
what say?
So let me ask you this then, sister. So what you're saying is our foundation of faith is what we need to instill within our families in order to stand our ground and be able to survive through what's going on?
That's right. Just like the Queen Yasantawa. Before she became queen, she saw the British coming in. And she was like, wait a minute. Our golden stool was given to us from the heavens. We have to believe in our rulers and our leaders. And if they take that stool, they've taken our whole culture. We can't have that to happen. I'm going to organize some of the women together so we can get this together. And the plan that she came up with was to make a stool that looked exactly like the golden stool. And so when the British came, they would not get the real stool that was the anchor of their community. And so the men were saying, well, okay, we'll just give it to them. She said, no, you got to fight. So they'll think it's the real one. And so in our today's life, do we fight to keep our families together? Do we fight for that foundation of our family? Do we fight for our cultural base?
Okay,
do we fight to try to find out all of the things that we need to know to stand strong.
Okay, those are some very powerful questions. So based on the scenario that you just shared with us about protecting the golden stool, what do we consider to be our golden stool, or what should we consider to be our golden stool in our community?
In our community, the best example I can see of a golden stool is our family, the family unit, because everything revolves around that nucleus.
Yes, I was going to say our children.
And our families are being torn apart on so many different levels. And and we have unconsciously walked into somebody else's definition of what our families should look like, and we imitate them. And so, hey, it's broken up.
Very valid. So give us an example of what, from a European-centric, have we been taught versus where we should be from an Afrocentric.
Well, see, we have to go way, way back. On the plantation, we could not nurture our babies. Dr. Henry Clark, I was listening to him earlier, he was saying that it was illegal to have families among the African people and the Irish, poor Irish people that were on the plantation. Indentured servants is what I call folks. And he said we still kind of kept our families together. One film that I have watched is 8 hours long, and it's based on a true story of a woman from Sierra Leone. I think she was from Sierra Leone. But it's called The Book of the Negro.
Oh, my God.
It was a PBS film.
Mm-hmm.
But it lets us know how tight family, love of family, love of country, love of righteousness, and love for and commitment for our righteous victory and our struggle.
That pinpoints a lot. But during our time of enslavement, did we have a sense of family, even though biologically a lot of our family members were separated with those that were there? That just
absolutely, absolutely.
Okay.
And then a lot of times family was so important, and it was so important to nurture those kids. Some folks would take a baby when they knew that the parents were being sold somewhere else and raise that child as their own. But you were punished if you showed affection. And so some of that message is in our unconscious body. And we do some of that same stuff now without the other pieces of that entrapment and that imprisonment being available. And so we have to help each other to know that hugging your baby, giving your baby affection, paying attention to your child is not a bad thing. It gives them a good foundation. But people think, okay, I got to go to work, and ain't nobody going to sit and hold this baby all day long like I do. But see, the power of conversation is tremendous. You tell that baby that you got to go to work eventually, but you love them, and you're going to hug them and give them all their foundation and move forward.
So what I
and
hear you saying,
look,
so what I hear you saying is we because a lot of times in our conversations within our community, the conversation is, I love you. I loved you. I provided for you. You had a roof over your head. You had food. So what I provide for you is the way I show love. What you're saying is we need to also nurture, which is
we
also another level of loving.
We have to, because the way the nervous system works is the more that you touch your child, the better the nerves connect and knit together. They have something now in, and this guy stole it from South Africa. When I talked to him about it, he didn't want to talk to me. But they had this kangaroo thing. When I was doing the breastfeeding program for the WIC program there in Milwaukee, they brought this man in, and he was talking about the importance of having your baby next to you. That's why you see a lot of the mothers in the motherland have their babies strapped to their back or strapped to their chest, because that touch is what nurtures them.
Okay, thank you for that. So tie that in to faith, because we're not talking about religious, man-made type of, we're talking about faith from an internal, from an African internal spiritual standpoint. Touch on that.
Faith is a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. And when we look at how this is defined under Imani, it says to believe with all our hearts in our people, in our families, in our teachers, in our leaders. And so faith ties into believing with all our hearts that this family unit of ours must survive. And it must survive and build from what we give our children.
And how, and give some examples of how we should do that. My reason for asking is because, real quick, Dr. DeGruy, I heard her tell a story of giving a scenario of two parents, one black mother, one white mother, where they were talking about each other's children. Both of their sons are friends, and the white mother compliments the black mother about her son, and the black mother compliments the white mother, and the white mother's like, oh, yes, he is. He does do this, and he is a very good student and very athletic, and then and vice versa, the black mother downs, oh, he's okay, her son. Oh, he's okay. He needs to work a little harder. And what is the psyche? And based
on the psyche that goes with that is we do not realize the subliminal things that we have inherited from our folks. So we don't just inherit bones and eye color and hair and all of that. We also inherit some of the emotions behind what occurs. In times on the plantation, if you complimented your child or you were caught nurturing your child, that child got taken from you and or you were also beat. And maybe everybody in the family was beat. And so now what we do is we don't want our kids to get big-headed. We don't want them to think that they are more than they are. And so we have a hard time complimenting them.
So how do you tie that to
how do you do that? You just have to practice. You got to put it in your mind that this child is something special. As we watched, you know, I do all this watching films and stuff. As we watched Alex Haley's Roots, when Kidzie was born, and this still is practiced in many parts of the motherland and here too, because I do the same ceremonies. You hold that child up, face up, a newborn, and say, behold, the only thing greater than you. So in other words, God is the only thing greater than you. Don't let nobody come in and put your light out. And we used to have, our great aunt raised us, my grandfather's sister. And she used to sit us down every month, and we were like, oh, brother, here she goes. She would say, whatever you do, be the best at it. So those are some examples of what you can do to nourish your child. I was watching Gabrielle Union and her husband, and they were talking about how his kids, who are her stepchildren, how they sit down and have conversations with them on what to do when the police stop you. And that they are there for them. So now they got a new baby and it's a girl. And are they going to do the same thing for the little girl? And they said, yes, we will. We want these kids to know that they are loved and that we are here for them and that they are part of our DNA.
So is this considered another form of faith, of what we, how we talk and when we instill certain things?
When we say believe in all our hearts, our families, you know, the faith, where is that? The faith is that we have complete trust and confidence in how our families are formed. And so, you know, I know in a lot of religions, faith is about, oh, we believe in God, and oh, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. But faith here, as we talk about the Nguzo Saba, it states clearly that believing with all our hearts in our family, in our people, in our creator, in our teachers, in our leaders. So, yes, believing in all our hearts that we are going to form healthy families.
Okay.
Can I, excuse me, I don't know the process. Is this, is there dialogue or is this after the presentation or how does this go?
Is this Sister Dee Dee?
No,
that's our Sister Bangur.
Okay. We will have questions and discussion after the top of the hour.
Okay. I just want to know. I don't want to barge into the process. That's why I asked the question.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, sister.
So we have to go back to the self-actualization, self-mastery, the development of good character. Those are things that family can have a firm foundation on. And so that's what we're teaching our children. That's what we're helping each other, because we are responsible for each other as our biological family, as the extension of our cultural family. We're responsible for each other to be truthful. We learned that earlier in doing these the laws of Ma'at. But we first got to be truthful with us. And that will build the faith that we have that everything is going to work out. Then we can say, Hakuna Matata. It's all good. No worries.
So now
and
that
so,
you're not- Go ahead.
Go ahead, Beth. Go ahead.
Now,
you know, I'll talk.
Up,
so I will.
Now that you brought up the Ma'at, in which faith would fall under order of Ma'at, how do we combine the two? And we only have about 3 minutes until we get to the top of the hour. So if you could kind of give us kind of give me a summary or in about 3 minutes as to how do we combine faith and order under the Ma'at.
I'm not sure there's a combination. They might complement each other because order is having things to go in a smooth flowing way. Order is getting yourself together and working on your purpose so that your light can shine. And then we move on to the family. And then we move to the community. And so being in order and not being deceptive to one another and not being deceptive and eluding yourself, falling for illusions. So is that 3 minutes or do I have a little more time?
You got a little more
time. You got a about a minute.
You got a minute. Okay. In this minute, let me talk about the need for Kurumba, which is the sixth principle, to be directly tied in this faith, Imani, to validate, value and validate the righteousness and significance of our struggle for true liberation. And so that, remember, the four R's is restore, renew, revitalize, and reaffirm. As we continue to reflect, because that's an examination of where am I? You know, where am I with the restoring, with the renewing, with the revitalization, with the reaffirming to make my community better when I leave here than it was when I got here? And so all of that is tied up in first yourself, that's the order, then your family, then the community, and then it spreads from there. That's the order of it.
All right, and you you summed that up very well within that many time too.
Oh, that's a miracle, ain't it, for me?
Well, this is a great time for us to go into our sponsor, Dr. Janine James. And the sponsor is edocadvice.com, and it's a website created to provide a place to go to get answers to your health or medical concerns. The questions are answered by health professionals and those who are knowledgeable about helping you make decisions about your personal health that makes sense to you. We do not replace your health professional or provide your care, but we can help you to become a better consumer so that you can get the medical advice and information to make a truly informed decision. We network with other health professionals throughout the country and bring that information to you. So please go to www.edocadice.com. EDOC Advice. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. James. And would you also give our weekly lineup, please?
We will do that, and I'll be happy to do that. And I think we're going to be going to that after the top of the hour. We've got a music selection and some advertisement from the network. So
thank you very much.
That's coming up.
You're calling African history and Negro history are the missing pages of world history. Go study the history of your masters. Go study the history of the people who enslaved you and find out why they found it a necessity to remove an entire people from the respectful country.
You are listening to Black Reality Think Tank with host Dr. William Rogers on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Well, it is my pleasure and privilege to share the lineup of the timeforawakening.com Black Reality Think Network. The lineup is extensive, and it begins with a schedule on Monday, and these times are all Eastern time at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. African Perspectives. The host is Brother Oshi. From 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., Acres of Diamonds, Brother Jihad Ahmed. And also on Monday, Eastern Time, 8 p.m. to 9 p.m., Black Therapy Central. The hosts are Dr. Miwaya Kambone and Sister Nataki Kambone. 9 p.m. to 10 p.m., Conversations of Reparations. This is only on the first and the third Mondays. Going on to our Tuesday schedule, is also an exciting list of programs. We have on Tuesday Eastern Time, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Black Reality Think Tank. The host is our own Dr. William Rogers. Wednesdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, host Brother Oshi. That's Eastern Time. Thursday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., Melanin Live. The host is Chief Lance Jones. Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., African Perspectives, host Brother Oshi. 8 p.m. to 10 p.m., Time for an Awakening, Brother Elliot is the host. Saturday, and these are Eastern Time, 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., Brother or Black Sister Talk. The host is Sister LaWanda Chambers. 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., the Elders of Sankofa. This is our group. And on Sunday, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m., time for an awakening. Hosts, Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. This is a great time. I get to end this up with the lineup and welcome along with our host an invitation to our listening audience. And we invite you to call in. The number is 215-490-9832.
Thank you, Dr. James. We actually have three callers waiting. Sister Ajua, and you are called by many names. Are you ready to take some calls? Sister Shepsi Ra, are you there? Okay, well, we'll start with the callers, and she'll jump back
on. Yeah, I'm here. I'm sorry. I still had it on mute. I'm sorry.
Okay. So we have a 414-366 caller. Good evening. area code 366. Okay, we'll come back to you. Next caller is area code 254. Three digits are 291.
You're only giving the first three digits. Is that what you were doing? Not the full number. Is that it?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I guess I'm the first question.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It was more of a than a question. It was a kind of a amen to what both of you were saying about faith and our children. And you mentioned about Dr. DeGruy and that incident, the story she told about the mother and having given birth to a registered genius, and also, you know, just bright children in general who went to predominantly white schools. You as a parent, because of your faith and knowing that you have to protect them, you build their egos at home. You don't build their egos out in the school system. And there's a reason for that. Is because then they get distracted. It's a distraction that happens where they get a big head and lose focus on the victory of being great in their thinking. And so, you know, that parent is protecting, that parent may not know that their child or appreciate or want to acknowledge their child, but they want that child to be grounded in what they know and not get distracted with compliments from other folks that really don't care about them, you know. Then I found that to be the case myself in sending my children to Brookfield schools. And so, you know, there's oftentimes not really knowing, you know, what that parent is thinking. But I know that you have to protect your children if they're bright, because there are distractions that will come up in those systems to keep them from being on focus.
That's all.
Not only that, if I might chime in, knowing those kids, not only that, the community, that extended family that didn't originate with that Clinton woman who wrote the book, but the rest of the village, the village that it takes to raise one child. And so in that village, we have complete trust and confidence and acceptance as a statement of truth that we're responsible for those children as well and nurturing them.
Ashe. Mother, I had a question in regards to the number. Were you the 366?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Can you hold on and let's see if we have the other caller of area code 254-291. Okay. And then we have another caller, which is 414, the area code 364. Okay, caller. So in regards to those very enlightening points of protecting our children and starting with building that faith in the home, so when they go out to not only our community but outskirts communities, that they get a chance to walk in their what? They walk in pride, walking in their purpose. What is it that we want to see that they, besides as the old saying of having a straight back, what else is it that we want that's
well, in order to have that straight back, you have mm-hmm. to have that foundation where self-actualization, self-mastery, and development of good character is the foundation that is being built, so that they understand what their light is that must shine without them even opening their mouth, that they understand that, hey, you're going outside of the home to be taught, and some of that stuff ain't true. And so come on back home, and we will iron that out. And home might be the actual place that they live in, or it might be the spiritual people in the community. And when I say spiritual, I'm not talking about a priest or a religious person or anything, because there's a difference between the two.
Okay, but we have another caller. I'm going to let you finish
okay.
that, and then we have another caller.
Okay. No, finish go get the caller.
Okay. We have a caller, area code 773-457. Go ahead and speak.
Tell them to take their phone off mute.
Caller 773.
Is their phone on mute? Is their phone on mute?
457. Not sure. Okay. Well, then let's continue. Caller,
okay.
Let us know if you're there and chime in.
So under this in Google, what was there someone there?
No, I was saying go ahead.
Okay, under this in Google Saba principle of Imani faith. To believe in with all our hearts in our creator, our people, our families, our teachers, our leaders, and most of all, the righteousness and the victory of our struggle, loving our own heritage and your own memory. See, there's a memory inside that comes forth many times in dreams, sometimes in meditation, sometimes just sitting. Those things will come up, and you'll have that aha moment of, and it doesn't start later. It starts when you're a child. Now, I remember being 3 years old and dreaming. And so I got up and told my great aunt, who had the primary responsibility for raising three of six children. And I said, your mama told me, and she said, little girl, you ain't never seen my mama. And there were no pictures of her mother in the house. And so I described her mother. And she said, okay, what did she tell you? And the thing that I can be grateful for is that she said, what did she tell you? Instead of, oh, shut up, go sit down, your imagination is crazy, or whatever. We have to listen to the kids, because they are many times that ancestor return that we're always talking about.
That's so
or
true.
They're being, or they're being communicated with from the ancestral line. And I'm always very confident that my great-grandmother, my grandfather's mother, Mariah Page Bolton, was my spirit guide growing up.
Okay.
And so a lot of times we have to be open to that. And if our children are not coming with the dream or anything profound like that, we still have to sit down. Well, how'd your day go? What you think about this? And well, even with one of my friends, her two-year-old grandson used to dig in the dirt all the time, and he would find the most unusual things.
Okay, hold that
saying,
story.
Then,
hold
you got
that
another
story.
Call?
Yeah, let's see if we can get these callers in.
Okay.
Area code 254-291. Can we hear you on the mic? Okay, I'm hearing something in the background. What about area code 414-364? Okay, and what about caller area code 773-457? Okay, well, we will continue to go on.
Okay, so the little boy was looking in the dirt and examining things all the time. And so we started saying that he was going to be a lawyer or an accountant. And we started calling him attorney. So it turns out that he is an engineer. But you have to plant those seeds very early. You have to see them where they could be, and then they will go where they need to be when the time comes. But you have to be able to see them and groom that in them.
Okay. Let's try another number. Let's try 334.
Good evening, good evening. Hi, I tuned in a little late, so I'm just going to be listening. Thank you so very much for acknowledging my call.
Oh, thank you for calling.
All righty.
How you doing, brother?
Finding yourself. Good evening, sister.
Good evening, brother.
Go ahead, brother. What would you like to share with us?
Oh, I tuned in a little late, so didn't think that anyone would be on the call because of the, of course, the holiday break year. So I just was kind of chancing it. And then, hey, someone is on the line. So I didn't know what the subject matter was, but I just wanted to go ahead on and lend my support for the next 45 minutes or so to show that, yes, I'm listening and intently and hope to learn.
You going to call us back?
We appreciate you, and, you know, keep listening. If you have something you'd like to share, feel free to let our operator know, and then we're more than willing to have you share an experience that you've had. What we're talking about is tonight is walking by faith,
okay.
Imani, the seventh principle of the Ulu Saba. And so that's where we've been talking. We've also incorporated the laws of Ma'at, which is order, in regards to this conversation. Sister Didi, do you have anything you would like to contribute?
Can you hear me?
I can. Just before you get started, I just want listeners to know all lines are open. If you're interested in calling, please call. You do an area code of one. The area code is 215-490-9832. That's area code 215-490-9832. We would love to hear from you. Go ahead, Sister Dee Dee.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say good evening to Brother Lush and thank him for joining us.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
Okay. Was there someone else that was speaking that wanted had something to say before Sister Chef Sira?
Well, Sister Cool here. One of the things that we often do, which is in terms of falling away from Imani and faith, is the belief in our people. As soon as we can have someone who does great work and does a lot of stuff in our community in a minute, you know, the news or somebody says, without investigating, without hearing both sides, we assume the worst. And one thing that faith does, and that Dr. Karanga focuses on, is that faith in our people and service to them that grounds our life gives meaning to our work in this victorious movement, to our struggle. We must believe in the righteousness and the victory of our people, regardless of delays, disappointments, setbacks, desertions, defections for reasons and excuses of endless kinds. So we have to be patient because our people have, a lot of them have internalized that psychopathic personality of their oppressor. And so as we try to move to the moment of enlightenment, those of us who have been blessed with that opportunity and are trying to live it in our life and share it with those around us, we have to be patient for those coming behind us and those who are moving with us who may not be where we are. And we have to have that patience if we seek unity and in the love and the kind of things that we want to see and happen in our community.
I say, Mother, do we have any other callers? Again, our number is area code 215-490-9832. So please give us a call. Share with us your comments, your thoughts, so we can continue this discussion. We have about 25, 30 minutes. So please.
I have something I'd like to put out there on the table as I've listened to the discussion today, and a thought crossed my mind along these lines, and I have wondered how it must have been for many of the women in captivity, our ancestors, to find themselves pregnant and carrying babies under circumstances that often were not desirable, were not ideal, sometimes violently, at the hands of slave owners, at the hands of overseers, at the hands of other people who have come to violate them. And knowing that there is a life inside of you, and how were those women able to be nurturing during those pregnancies? Knowing that this pregnancy is not a result of circumstances that they were in control of, and their ability not only from the standpoint of being able to nurture during a pregnancy, but here is now this new life, and to be able to nurture, and perhaps some didn't, but many may have. And I'm just wondering about the thoughts that some of you may have had about how that may have taken place, that they were able to have the faith in knowing that this is a new life and that they have been blessed with the responsibility of bringing this new person.
Before you answer that question, thank you, Dr. James, for that. Dr. James is our prenatal and postnatal specialist. So that question would definitely is definitely an interest in and in her field. Could you also again share with us your service that you have and your sponsorship?
Well, I am one of our sponsors, and I am sponsoring the website edocadvice.com, and this is a website that has been created to provide specific medical answers to those seeking a better understanding about medical conditions and health. We offer our faculty of eDocs, who are licensed physicians and health professionals, who make themselves available to those globally seeking a better understanding of health issues, their own personal health issues, as well as medical practice. I'm a sponsor, and we welcome sponsors for our program, the Sankofa's program this period. Do you have a service? Think about, do you have a service you want others to know about? Have you written a book we need to read? Consider becoming a sponsor. Email the Black Reality Think Tank at Sankofa_think@outlook.com. Contributions as well to support our broadcasting efforts can be made to Cash App at $INSTI and PayPal to the same Sankofa_think@outlook.com.
Thank you, Dr. James. And so we tabled that question. Can we, for those that would like to share some comments and insight on Dr. James' question?
Actually, that was another part of my presentation. That's a part of that spiritual attempt for spiritual annihilation. Not only spiritual annihilation, but to just break down and embarrass our spirits, our inner spirits. And how do we recognize how to combat that with the faith, believing and having complete trust and confidence and acceptance that it is true, that all life is special. And that has been a foundation of African families from the very beginning. And when many of the women were found themselves pregnant as a result of that violence, they had other women to come around them and support them in bringing forth a life that may turn things around. That life might be the person that might be the Harriet Tubman, that might be the modern day woman that says, hey, that statue over there doesn't look like us. And other ways of saying, look, we are not going to put up with this foolishness and this annihilation attempt, this genocide attempt. And so the women surrounded her and helped her to focus on that life inside as being precious, as being part of God's creation, as being part of the restoration and liberation for our people that could occur after that child is born. And so that's certainly a hard thing. So we think about people being raped today, and a lot of them do not want to deal with that pregnancy. They will terminate it or whatever because of the circumstances under which the impregnation took place. And so that's where we look at the community to surround and nurture the woman as well as the life in her womb. And this is what I understand was done when our women were in captivity. Once again, the film that I had mentioned earlier, the Book of the Negro, that woman was a midwife. And you might find that really interesting, Dr. Jane, at how she carried out her work in bringing babies forth under the very circumstances that you mentioned.
Thank you for that. Again, our lines are open. We do welcome you to be a part of this conversation. Our number is area code 215-490-9832. That's 215 area code 490-9832. Is there anyone else that would like to contribute to that?
I would like to say something on that if I can.
Go ahead, Sister Dee Dee.
Okay. Back in the day of our ancestors, I was reading where that a lot of them, when they did have their children, because of the situations they were in, some of them even killed the baby or even murdered, or they even killed themselves because they didn't want their children coming up in that type of environment, or they didn't want the children going through what they have gone through, and they'd be afraid for their children. And it had to be very heartbreaking as you look at some of the movies and some of the stories on our ancestors on how, when they did have their children, how these people came in their homes and took their children, or just took their children right from them, or they shipped them off somewhere else, shipped the children off somewhere else. And when Betsy Rye was talking about the Book of Negroes, that's a very good movie. I think a lot of us Black people need to look at. Very good movie. And the young lady that was in the movie, her mom taught her how, what they call, to catch babies. That's what they call it then. Because mom would go out around the tribe and she would catch babies. And she taught her daughter how to do it. So when they got captured and everything, and her and her, matter of fact, her mom and dad got killed. But that's what saved her friend and kind of saved her, because she was a very, very smart young lady. She spoke a lot of different languages. But we just need to start, as Dr. James said, we need to start reading and studying and learning about our culture, our story, not his story, but our story. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Sister Dee Dee.
We have midwives today. We have a number of midwives, and we have doulas, and training is still going on right in Milwaukee. If you contact Venus Williams, she is a doula, and Dalvery Wilborn is I think she's studying to be a midwife. And so when we look at giving birth and what went on then and what's going on now and what can be done, there are many doulas and midwives in our community that will support the pregnant woman and be at the birth and will support her afterwards. And I think that In our attempt to accept these statements as true, which is what belief is, and faith, complete trust and confidence in those ways, because those ways are what our ancestors brought here. And those ways are continuing now. People are going back to the midwifery and the home birth. There's a brother in Milwaukee who delivered all 7 of his girls in the home. And so we have a lot of people who we can look to that do many of these things that are uplifting, that show that they have an African-centered lifestyle and headset. They are thinking in terms of how do I nurture this child's mind. When I tell this child that she was born at home, when I tell this child that her dad delivered her and was actually the mid-person, we can't call him a midwife, a mid-husband in the delivery, how does that make that child feel? Does that child light up and is encouraged by that? That's some of the stuff that we look at when we are fighting against this genocide and annihilation from the oppressor. Much of that goes on.
So let me ask this. How do we connect that with our faith? And before you answer that question, I heard someone else's voice prior to Sister Shipsy Ra was getting ready to speak. Was there someone else that wanted to contribute?
I did, but there was a lot of good. I had to leave because my daughter was calling me. I think everything that the sister said was, you know, was right on. And I wanted to comment on is it Dr. James? Is that what her name is? I don't know her, so okay, they made a statement about how did women back in the day, how did they endure the trauma? And I think that Mama Munira Ajua. So, but anyway, we're known by all our names, so people call us different names. But, you know, she's right on in terms of it didn't matter, even though it was traumatic. One of the reasons that we were stolen because we were human, that our humanity continued to even though we fought every step of the way coming here, we did not want to be enslaved, but we still had that human element about us. And so any life in us was one that was celebrated, regardless of whether it came from race or came from, you know, the natural intercourse of me and my man. And so I think that that's how we survived, because we had the faith that we believed that regardless of the circumstances, as Sister Ajua said, we knew that that person had a purpose, and we were going to help that person realize that purpose as long as we were connected, and even beyond when the children were taken and sent to other places. We still prayed and did ritual for that child. So wherever they went, as we laid hands on them at birth, we knew that the circumstances were beyond our control. But we had the faith that wherever they were taken, they would be protected. And so that's the kind of faith that we need to cling on to, that historical faith that got us here. Because we're still being raped, whether it's mental, physical, or otherwise, still being raped as African women. And so we just have to keep that in mind, is that faith that has kept us, you know, resilient in history.
Thank you for that, because that was where I was going to go after you finished, as to how do we actually instill Imani, the Imani spirit, working in our immediate community now.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the example I gave before, the theme is lived by a brother in Milwaukee who truly, truly has an African-centered lifestyle that he lives and has passed on to his children. And one thing that he does is he's a mid-husband who has delivered all his children. And he makes sure that their minds are pointed towards being proud of being Africans. He fills their heads with history. Not history, I don't like using that. With our heritage and our legacy about African mindset. He gets them involved in community things. He makes them know that they're responsible for each other and for each other in the community. So it's just, it's a lot in Milwaukee that we don't notice. And I think it often comes from the lack of faith. And see, when we think of faith, we got to unscrew the Europeans' definition of it. We got to unscrew that only has to do with church and God. Yes, it includes God, but it's a complete trust and confidence in believing in all our hearts in the righteousness of our struggle, the righteousness of our people, the righteousness of having that nuclear family, the righteousness of our teachers, our leaders, and the victory that is owed to us that's coming soon.
And that's exactly why it was rephrased of Imani spirit, the working of the spirit. So how do we get that not only in our homes, but how do we touch it and bring it to the community?
We have to show love. We have to love
the order. The order that you were speaking of before, you start with yourself, that little light in you. That light has to shine from within you. And then you take it to your family. And from the family to the community. When you're talking about order, that's an order. I don't mean demand, but an order in which we can do the layers and build on those layers. And that's when we find that the complete freedom takes place. First, it takes place in knowing who you are. And that's a spiritual journey.
Okay.
And we love it. We talk about that very often.
Mama,
a lot of us don't love ourselves. You know, a lot of us don't love ourselves, you know, and she's absolutely right. We don't love ourselves, and we have to love ourselves first before we can love anybody else. And love is faith. You know, love is faith. And if we can love each other, you know, love ourselves, love our family, and be patient with our community by setting an example, a lot of examples have been taken away. And those people who set examples are ancestors now. And, you know, and those that remain behind, you know, we have to continue to set those examples, you know, of what faith is, what love is in our community. We used to love each other. We didn't have a whole lot, but we had love for each other. We didn't have, you know, the titles, the slave tags, you know, doctor this, doctor that, but we had each other. And I think we've gotten caught up in the slave tags, you know. Before we were just healers. We were healers and we were, you know, facilitators of knowledge, storytellers, And that's how we captured, but we got caught up in the titles, and we abandoned the love in our community. And it's okay to have titles. That's where we are right now in life. But we can't supersede the love and the faith that we have that we are going to be victorious in turning this stuff around, and that our children who are now moving forward will have the knowledge of self and the strength and resilience to carry on this work. That's what we have to do, make sure that they are grounded so they can carry on this work.
Okay, so the question I have for you in regards to community, we have so many generations that was not fed, their soul wasn't fed with some of the Afro-centered teachings and experiences. And so we talk about the children, but what about those in the middle? Is there something that we can work on from the middle? Because when I'm thinking about community, I'm also thinking about not just our children, but what about those that are in the center that kind of, that didn't, like I said, I'm repeating myself and I apologize, that didn't get a lot of this.
The spiritual development that we've been speaking of is definitely available to everybody. We have that in our DNA in the first place. And so we need each other to massage that up and out so that we have that, we have that ancestral memory that comes back to us, that's revived. It's an inside job of examination. It's an inside job to find that light and not be afraid to shine it, because then, as in the inaugural address of the late Nelson Mandela, then we allow others to feel free to shine their light.
And not to beat up on people when we share knowledge. You know, if they're not ready, they're not ready, but at least share it with them. You know, we have a tendency to, you know, we get knowledge and then we want to beat up on people because they're not in the same mindset. We have to be patient. We have to share this knowledge, but we have to live it. We can't just talk about it. You know, we have to live it and let them see it. You know,
and we have to be aware that there is a hidden hand that is looking for our annihilation, that's planning for our annihilation, that is conjuring up genocide. We have to be aware of that. We have to be aware of how that has impacted the spirits of our people, how it has impacted our minds, and how it has impacted the energy that we can put forth. And that's why we need each other, and we need to really knock down the little attempts that we see. I was talking to Sister Doretha, and she said, will you believe this? Now that those Aretha Franklin is gone, they're doing subliminal things to put Celine Dion in her place. We have to recognize that kind of stuff. There's a statue over at the Women's Center in Milwaukee. We had Sister Hetty, who was brave enough to come forth and say, hey, you should have had somebody that looked like us to do that statue, because that looks like the creator of the person that did the statue. It does not look African-American. See, we have to speak up on those things, because that's part of the annihilation. That's part of the painless genocide that these people are trying to commit.
Okay, so let me thank you for that. We are at 7:48, and we are closing up very soon. So I would like to give the opportunity for our featured guest, Sister Shepsi Ra, to give us about 3 minutes of some last words, and then we will be closing out with a song.
Okay. I just want to say thank you guys for listening. Sometimes I get real excited because this just means so much to me. I just want to say, let's pay attention to the so-called painless genocide attempt, because genocide is very much erasing your culture. How can you exist if you don't have a cultural base? And Dr. Clark says, look, if you don't have a foundation, if you don't have a land base, you don't have anything. If you don't know who you are, then people can dictate to you who you are, and you will behave in that manner. So we have to be careful not to imitate the oppressor. And we really don't need to be taught by the oppressor. I don't know when we're going to get that straight. That's why they have the Jewish communities that are intact. That's why they have the Asian communities that have come lately, and they're intact, because their culture has not been taken from them. And so we have to renew, revitalize, reaffirm who we are as people of African origin. And it doesn't mean going there. It means in your mind, when you make choices, day-to-day choices, are those choices based on? Is this a tiny step towards freeing our people? Am I making a contribution, even on a small scale? One of my favorite people, that the late Nana Menza, who taught me the rites of passage, he introduced, well, he didn't introduce me to her because she's always been my favorite, but he showed me some stuff about Cicely Tyson. And I had seen her on interviews where she says, I will not take any part in any movie or any theater stuff that does not dignify my people. So she is exhibiting that faith in her people, that belief that her people have a right. She's also contributing to the Kaumba, to restore, renew, revitalize, reaffirm. So she's reaffirming our people by saying, no, I will not take any disgraceful roles. And subsequently, she didn't get an Oscar either for the things that she's done that she did really well. And so let us not imitate the oppressor, and let's be conscious of the even the small ways that they try and commit genocide and annihilate us. And we have to be politically, culturally, and spiritually free ourselves. And it has to start inside, folks. This liberation is an inside job. You're letting your light shine so that somebody else lets theirs shine. And as the late Marcus Garvey said, up you mighty race, because we gonna win.
Thank you so much for that. Got a question for you. When you said about our internal faith, working on our internal Imani spirit, can you give examples like books? What type of meditation, other suggestions that you can touch on? You know, we don't have a lot of time for details, but just some suggestions of things to start looking into. Books to read, people to
not
listen.
Not everybody's going to read, and we have to face that.
And
so
that's what I said.
That's the importance of the storyteller. And is there a storyteller in each family? If there isn't, hey, appoint one. Get one to tell the family story, to keep our heritage alive. If you cannot go inside and be honest with yourself, be truthful with yourself about who you are, get somebody to help you. Rites of Passage does that. Someone who looks like us and is really one of us for real, that does psychotherapy, that helps. Storytelling helps. But for the most part, looking inside and really earnestly asking the divine creator to help, either you'll be sent somebody or you'll have an aha moment. And it's a constant reevaluation and cleaning yourself out so that your light shines through, so that you're part of our liberation process and sharing with each other. Because we're two or more gathered, hey, it's a lot of spirit. It's a lot of spirit. You can like, think something on your own, somebody else there with you, you'll notice that your inside has a different reaction. And so have faith that you will. And faith, again, is complete trust and confidence that you will have that light to shine, that you will have that purpose revealed to you. And sometimes we live our purpose without even being consciously aware that we've been doing it all our lives. And belief in our communities, getting back to who we are. I don't know if that answered your question in the way that you wanted it answered.
It did. I was hoping you were going to talk about Reiki and, like I said, brought up some meditation things to look to get into, but you did.
People are afraid of stuff like Reiki.
Well,
and so that has to be handled gently.
Okay.
And I have helped people out with Reiki on many levels, from just helping them to see things more clearly. People had attitude because I was going to the bar, and so I did Reiki on this guy in the bar, and he came back a month or so later and said, "Thank you. I don't know what you did. I don't know anything about that stuff, but I trusted that you knew what you were doing, and now my life is better."
Okay.
So, I can tell you some stories. And then I use Reiki to get a baby here who's now 12 years old, and she just loves me to pieces.
And I believe that. And I know you can, because the spirit and energy can be used anywhere. I'm a believer. It doesn't matter where you are. The spirit can move. In that, I thank you so much. I was so honored to be the host for this show. The spirit of Imani, faith, is a very important thing that I work to live by. I strive for every day. Also, would like to thank our sponsor, Dr. James. Please go to her website for any medical discussions, health or medical concerns that you may have, that she can have discussion with you on. Her address, email address or website is E Doctor Advice. That's E DOC ADVIC.com. Dr. James is very knowledgeable, has been a physician for many years, and very wise, a very wise physician, which makes a difference. Again, I thank you all for listening, for joining us on this show. I hope you enjoyed the discussion. I did tell you at the beginning it was going to be very enlightening. I hope it was moving for you as well. I hope that it gives you thought of how to think out of the box, this European Western civilization box, and that you start to seek and to reach out to a different way of looking at the world. So we all hope, our hopes is that you have a great week. Rest of the week, weekend, and the rest of the week coming. Be blessed. Peace and blessings. And we thank you.
Uhuru.